بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم had three major concerns about the ummah after him. One was the wealth opens out and people begin to chase, one competing with the other. So he is not concerned about poverty. وَالْفَقْرُ أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ. The fear was of the wealth opening out and then one chasing after it, one trying to compete with the other. So that became the primary concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then there must have been a good reason for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being concerned. Our Abu Zuhanadeen, Allah Ta'ala filled the graves with Noor. So the ways of Islam was quite unique. When they see a person, they see that he needs to be remedied, corrected. So they will try and work out what is the mansha, what is the root of the sin. They won't patch up each one individually. Like for example, they see he's interesting. Right? He's dragging his creditors. Sometimes he's deceiving them. Sometimes it's an estate matter. So he's using his influence and extorting. So normally we don't call this robbery. We don't call this stealing. But he's using his influence and he's extorting. So he's the elder brother. And as though he's passing on the message to his sisters, then if you just keep quiet, so tujhe mithai pilayenge, so ye mithai. Or tum bologi, and you talk, you open your mouth, so phir tumhare liye pitai. So she knows now, that I can't break this relationship. And if there's going to be a severance in the relationship, then I don't have anybody. But she's given in because she likes to give in, or she's given in because of extortion. She's coerced. I'm not going to do this, then what my brothers will say. Father just died now, and so you're fighting for the wealth. Just a material turn the whole thing around. And he'll appease his conscience by saying, well, they approve of it, so what? What wrong have I done? So in the public eye, he seems to be respected, he seems to be good, but really what's going on, the skeletons in the cupboard, only Allah knows about it. These things take time to unravel. I won't mention the names, they're all popular people, right? The famous king of India, some centuries away. Well known, everybody talks about him. But we were trying to do a research on his family. So now we discovered he's a king, sitting on India's wealth. There were tons of gold, emeralds, rupees, all that. So now, approximately just under two centuries, and what's happened to his children, progenies. So they are, you know, that cycle rickshaw. They are cycle rickshawing now. And nearly all of them have turned Shias. Khasira dunya wal akhira. Lose this side and lost that side. So it's beyond what the eyes can see. And that is why the opening verse of the Quran Sharif is وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. We believe in the unseen. But what you're going to be doing is going to be a consequence. You're doing something, it's going to be a consequence. So this was the first concern of Rasulullah ﷺ, that the wealth will open up, and when the wealth will open up, you will chase. And then when you'll be chasing, then the primary concern is, I must overtake you. And in the process of overtaking, you driving on the road, and you want to overtake, are you worried about the laws, breaking the law, overtaking, hurting someone, damaging someone? But the whole idea is just to overtake. So whatever comes on the way, I'm not concerned about it. But provide, I must be first. So Allah blessed Rasulullah with that knowledge. In a few words, in a simple manner, is given the whole story. فَتَنَافَسُوهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسَتْهَا مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ. You will chase like the people of the past. فَأَهْلَكَكُمْ كَمَا أَهْلَكَهُمْ. And the same wealth will be the means of your destruction, like it was the means of the destruction of the people in the past. One person, a friend of mine, is from Belgium somewhere. He says, you know this Hewlett Brothers here? Just in an amusing way, in a light way, say the whole South Africa depends on this thing every morning for your tea and your biscuit. You require them. That's all right. But he's telling me now, do you know what's the situation of the family now? So now it's become a public company, right? So some children are in Cape Town, they are beggars on the street. Now, what a wealthy conglomerate, and what's happened to them, just in maybe 70 years, 60, 70 years, what's happened to them. So you see these things, it doesn't take time for this thing to change. So that was the one primary concern of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when we talk about contentment, then that is not on the cards today. Today nobody even talks about contentment. They talk about making halal and haram, right? If we had a session before, so do it halal, all right? That's the first step. So we will compliment, we'll recognize that step because it's the right direction. But we don't end there. We move ahead, you see. In deen, there is no such a thing like stagnation. Either go up or you come down. So stagnated there now, it's halal. And you're not worried about improving in any way, then there's a lot of other factors that are in your life, things are happening. He's bought a car, man. You know, what car he bought? Limousine he bought, you know, this car here. And what are you playing around? You know, you're living in this planet Earth, and still, same place, you don't even move. Hey, the whole world is going to Turkey, where are you? You never even go there. You know what Kabira is this. It's just a culture. I have to explain this to someone. Right? This is just a state of the mind. Turkey or wherever, Cape Town, wherever, is not a problem. If you are at ease in your mind, you're comfortable, you know, settled, then you don't need to go anywhere. But if your mind is tormented, right? Turbulence in your mind, problems in your mind, then you need to run away from the problem. Thinking like, I'll run away to Turkey, and that'll be the end of the problem. And to make it Islamic, I'll go to Turkey. Make it Islamic, give it an Islamic favor. So, no, I'm going to also make it an Islamic favor. Why? I spend. So many reasons, but the idea is to run away. But I say, you can't run away from yourself. Can you run away from yourself? Al-Hari sahab rahmatullahi would say, log sardi aur garmi shikayat karte hai. They complain about heat, about cold. Ya sardi aur ya garmi tere andar hai. Agar tum chaho, to Himalaya bhi tumhara andar hai. Aur Arab aur Hijaz ki garmi bhi tere andar hai. If you just correct the state of the mind, you'll feel cool, you'll feel relaxed, wherever you are. But the state of the mind is gone off. So Rasulullah's teaching is perfect. And be it as it may, wherever we are, wherever, but we can't remain stuck and stagnated. Right? We can't be at the level of the Sahaba Kiram. One khajur, and the whole day, they're working whole day. leaves of the trees and water and they manage the whole day. You know, you go and see the hijaz, right? 50 degrees, 55 degrees. Imagine now, on horseback, on camelback, one hand is a sword, one hand is a shield, and they're moving. And they're fighting whole day. Whole day they're moving, say about 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, right until Asar, they're working. Can you do that? One khajur. They say differently, the army marches on the stomach. See our stomach, right? We'll march for you. And these people are working with imani power. Any comparison? This is imani power, this is material power. No comparison. So that's why he could say, that Khubayb could say, one thorn, you know, I can't stand that I be in luxury whilst one thorn picks Mubarak feet of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's imani power. What they were saying is not just a repetition of words. It was real. So that's why Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us the dua, Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. Can't be content much. Whatever I've got, I feel content. Feel happy, content, satisfied. I won't even look what he's eating, where he's driving. I won't look at his house as well. Now the whole world is working in the opposite direction. And this thing starts off, really starts off from secular education. From the secular education, what does it teach you? What's the whole game? What's the whole aim? To better the standard of life. Do they ever talk about taqwa, fear of Allah Ta'ala, fear of the akhirat, jannah, jahannam? Do they ever talk about it? Even in Islamic school, by the way, they'll just squeeze Islam inside. By the way, they'll say Islamic school. We don't talk about them now. They'll say now you're against school also. What our children must do then? That's what they'll say. But I'm just showing you what this mentality does. Mentality is only about material, 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 nothing else. Even within the circle of friends, if you've got that money, you can join the circle. Otherwise, jump out. So everything, the whole goal, the whole aim, the goal is wealth and wealth and wealth. Nothing beyond that wealth. Now, look at the style of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's different totally. As Aisha is told, قَرِّبِي الْمَسَاكِينَ وَجَالِسِيهِمْ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يُقَرِّبُكِ مِسْكِينَ and the poor. And keep close to them. Keep to them. Be with them. Love them. Show them some love and attention. Allah Ta'ala will keep you close to Himself. Now I ask you, the estate culture, is it blending in with this? Think to yourself, is this estate culture, is it blending in this? Not blending at all. They are saying, let's live like an ordinary person in a mixed community, right? So at least, when you see the poor, the underprivileged or the less privileged, you will appreciate, right? And at some time, some point or the other, you will want to assist him as well. You want to assist him, you will support him, you will feel sympathetic towards him. But you are living enclosed in a state. What's going to happen after some time? The advantages, right? The Tabligh Jamaat wants to come and make ghusl in your house, they can come. But in an estate, Hazrat, appointment karke aana chahiye. You don't just come like that. See, we are very busy people. We are not parvarta ni mara. We are not just wasting time here. We are very busy people. Make an appointment. You see, the whole mentality changes. The culture changes, the mentality changes, your lifestyle, everything changes. So you see the teaching of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They say that we looked for rahat, we looked for comfort in wealth, but we found it in contentment. Where we were looking for? Looking somewhere else. And we found it here. So you will only come right, you come back to the cause. So there can be one of two goals. One is wealth. Lidu harsa dunya. And then, Ja'al al-humum, right? Hamman wahida. So one is the concern, primary concern became wealth, enjoyment, comfort, immediate gratification. You want that satisfaction, but immediate. So that is one style. And one is you thinking further, alright, I'm in a transit lounge. They gave me the best treatment, the, you know, first class treatment. After that, then what? One day here, Char dil ki chandni, phir andheri raat. It's just a few days of glitter and glamour. And after that, a few days of glitter and glamour, and I lost all these opportunities. So that's why I say, but now it's become like compulsory to me. Do ta'aleem in the house every day, like compulsory, and to make at least some discussion, some muraqabah, some reflection of the life after. In that life after, what will be your position? You're boxed up. You can't move out. You see when they bury the person, he's boxed up, right? Finished. From all sides, he's locked up from all sides. The meaning of comfort is access, isn't it? You want unlimited access. That's comfort, isn't it? So with an unlimited access, how much they pay on the phone? Unlimited. So the meaning of comfort is unlimited access. So now you're locked up from all sides. Right. Now think for yourselves in that position, what will grant you that access? Brother was on Musalli here, very content. He was on fishing, there was a small shop in town. Extremely content. Content. Baloka Chikanani, big beer also was quite big. Not an alim. Quite big, long. So he lost his wife. Now the first wife can't be replaced, you know. But please now I can't see the story too loud because it's Bilal transmitter. Right. So anyway he came crying to me. I can still remember it was Sunday. It's after Zohar sometime he came. Said, how are you? So the fishermen are simple people, you can talk to them easily. So he's just crying. Big man, maybe about 15 years older than me. Crying. And he calmed down. And he tells me, you know what I saw? He's telling me, you know what I saw? I saw a bird with exotic colors, you know. He's flying, fluttering around, drinking from the stream. The stream was exotic. The lights, the beauty, and how it was just moving, you know. How it was moving. And the trees, and eating from the trees, drinking from the streams there and then. And then that thing is moving. I'm so charmed, you know. So enamored with all this thing here, and I can't take my gaze out of it. The bird also exotic colors, but so beautiful. The garden, the place, the stream, that thing is drinking, eating of the fruit. And I can't just move my eyes out of it. And then guess what happened after that? The next moment it was my wife. I said, perhaps your wife died of some problem in the abdomen. She had something. And she's a shaheed. So the shaheed, that is the reward of the shaheed. That is sent to Jannat. Tayrin, khudrin, they got some type, whatever thing in akhir, Allah knows, whether it's something like an aeroplane or something. But you inside that, and you move in Jannat as you want. Feed freely, drink freely, and then park under the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. But you see this contentment, contented life, not chasing. You hardly could drive properly like me, right? But the contented, peaceful, easy life, catching fish and all that, living a simple, good life, easy, simple, good life. But Allah Pak showed him, in a short span of time, he went away, he's gone, I did his ghusl. But just before he could pass away, he comes and kind of like this. Then in that sitting, I asked him, all right, tell me some of the beautiful ways of your wife. She had some beautiful ways. Allah gave her. She died on the musalla and she had that problem, abdomen problem, right? And she died later. She said, there's two, three things I can't forget, you know. She said, one is that she didn't want to go anywhere. قَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ Stay in the house. Only once she went to the hall, it was one friend that had came and helped her, you know, something, setting up the house or whatever. So she felt indebted now. This one did so much for me, and I must do one thing, something for her. So she had an invite, Arvind, just to go and help out. But that was the first and the last thing. After that, she never go. The second one, she was so over-obedient. Obedient, always showing a smile, even if I scold her or something. She didn't pull up her face, smiling, happy. Right. And she spoiled me to that point. You know, I'm in the bath, and she's got my clothing, she's got my toothpaste, everything ready. And wear this clothing today. And the minds were so attached. He's a jahil, he can't even read Quran Sharif's mind. He passed away, you know. And he's a jahil. Minds were so attached that I'm in town working there, and she knows already what I'm desirous of. And she'll cook exactly the same thing. You see this? Jannat ka jawruha. It was like a couple of jannat. They just flew out of jannat and flew back. Came onto planet Earth and flew back onto jannat. See this? So that was the first thing that Rasulullah was very much concerned about. That this wealth will open out and then you will begin to chase. Run after it. I will explain that our Buzuganadin, they look at the root of the problem and they treat it from the bud. So, one of Rum Rahmatullah says, chase the dunya. What is dunya? You see, you're running after dunya. What is dunya? As Khuda ghafil budr. Khuda ko bhool karke kaam karna. That's the khulas of dunya. That you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what is the meaning of forgetting Allah ta'ala? من الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا يحبونهم كحب الله والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. See that it can be one of two pathways, right? One pathway is that the love of other things are overwhelming. يحبونهم كحب الله. See that first. يحبونهم كحب الله. So when the love of other things are overwhelming, then that will rule your life. Whether it is your wife, whether it is your child, whether it is your friend, whether it is your wealth. But the love for these things is overwhelming. And ask you, who rules life? The love for the thing that is overwhelming. But the believer, the mu'min, what his love should be like? وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدَّ love is overwhelming for Allah Ta'ala. So it is just a matter of Allah saying this and they will do it. Not this and they will do it. No. We don't want to cross lines. We don't want to compromise. We don't want to compromise and experiment with our love. It's our love. This is what we're living for. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. So anything can go. Like I spoke about Khubayr رضي الله عنه. Anything can go. But nothing to Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nothing. That means nothing to deen. There mustn't be a dent onto deen. Everything can come and go. In its time it will come, in its time it will go. In Durban we had some old people, you know. So just reading the incident, the level of contentment. I won't mention the name. So he's got a business running alright. Not very wealthy, not very poor. Khata pita, you know, is breaking even. So one friend of him offered him a spot near the taxi rank, I'm talking about 65 years ago, when things were very safe. So double the size, half the rent, and maybe three times the volume of business that you're doing here. Offered him this. So this is half the rent, double the size, and this is the amount of business that you do. It's already a running business. Friendship, I'm offering it to you. No, says, but why? Offering it to you just as a friend. So you see, I got this 4x4 small shop. I got time for my 5 times namaz. The masjid is next door. Right? No problem with that. Number 2 is this, that I got time for my Quran Sharif, my Zikr, my Hizbul Azam, all that, I got time for that. Number 3, I got time for my mehman. For my namaz, my Quran Sharif, my Zikr, my Hizbul Azam, everything is happening very well, right? Now if I'm going to get this type of a shop, I know I have to break my back to sustain the shop. So show me the type of money, but in the process I have to beg. And then I'm worried about my namaz, my zikr, my tilawat, my hizbul azam, all these things. Is it going to be in its place or not? Now everything is running very smoothly. And I'm going to be tied up with all this. Everything will be affected. So just leave me at the spot that I am. I'm khata pita, I'm eating well, drinking well, for a good family life. Just let me, just leave me. So you see this, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. What this ayat is telling you, by let that love of Allah Ta'ala be overwhelming, for everything to fall in place. If it's not overwhelming, then there's some problem with you. For that couple that is married, for that marriage to go well, the love needs to be overwhelming. If it's just a formal marriage, right? Formal, mature or married, formal. Then you're getting umpteen emails coming here. I don't know how they live. What type of, they're studying, one is studying. Say we married for so long, right? But he's never been intimate with me. 1 year, 2 years passed, nothing. He lives in this country, I won't mention the name of the country, and he only comes and sees me once in the year. But living, if I'm going to come over here, then I'll lose the business. But I ask you then, is the relationship, is it overwhelming? The money is overwhelming, not the relationship. So, the whole focus is turned towards wealth. In the meanwhile, this type of woman are complaining, we have also feelings, right? Now, they're not talking after that, but they are giving their feelings. We got feelings as well. We got emotions as well. So, you see, in the process of wealth, making my wealth, acquiring wealth, and that love has become so much that people's rights are being trampled, right? Now you're going to be juggling with halal and haram, what to do? How to overcome those feelings? وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. So you see the concern of Rasulullah s.a.w. So the Buzurgana deen, when they saw now, alright, this is the problem, then they will not prescribe something individually. But they will say, alright, this is the problem, they've seen where you're going wrong. So they'll give you one thing to look after. So just look after the hubbul, that hubbul dunya, that's all. Just look after the hubbul dunya. How you look after the hubbul dunya? You look after the hubbul dunya, thinking carefully about the unpredictable nature of this life. Uncertainty. How is the uncertainty? Young, healthy, about 1-2 days ago, one person was here. He said, 2 years ago I came with that person, so fit, gym, everything. I remember the exact, important person, not mentioning the names. He is so felt, so healthy, 30, prime of the youth, and he's paralyzed, can't move, can't walk. So you see the uncertain, unpredictable nature of this life. So healthy, so strong, all the wealth, everything he's got. But in a moment, how things can just turn around? So that's why mata'ul ghurur, this dunya, is known as the goods of deception. It deceives you. You begin to think, no, I got this, I got an anchor that will, lanfisamala, unbreakable anchor, I'll hold on to it. But Allah Pak says, wa atasimu bihablillah, that rope, that is unbreakable. So they will tell you, all right, this is a solution. Think carefully. And تَقُومُ لِلَّهِ مَسْنَا وَفُرَادَ ثُمَّ تَتَفَكَّرُ. There are some people who can think right when they are all by themselves. All alone. They can think, they can put things together, understand, perspective. And there are those people that can't think so well when they are all by themselves. They can't think so well. Because they started thinking about Qabristan, then they'll think about the hearse, with the hearse they'll think about the driver. And from the driver, the thing, how he's earning, and how much he must be earning, and what he must be doing, wherever the bikes would run away. So, you get different temperaments, right? So, some people can think better when they are paired up, and some people can think better when they are all alone. Now, thinking means, muraqabah means, it doesn't mean now you're sitting and putting your head down, and you on cloud 11, then 12, 13, 7th Asman, Arshano. You engage your mind in a thought that will bring you close to Allah Ta'ala and the Akhirat. Any thought that will bring you close to Allah Ta'ala, make you understand Akhirat is alive, make you understand that this life is fleeting, transitory, it brings you to some good ends, right ends. That's the meaning of Muraqabah. See, this translations that you read, or that books of Tasawwuf that you read independently, makes you feel that Tasawwuf is something like a fairy tale, you know, moving on this cloud here, doing this karamat here, kadad that side here, you do some Sufi dances that side. So that's how it makes you think. Because you are going the path, but you're studying yourself, or you're looking at it from translation. Now how are you going to get it right? You need to be supervised. Supervised and corrected. Alright, now see, this is the path. That's why they say, the first path is, the first level is, you have Aqeedat and Muhammad. That Aqeedat is like faith, you see. Like faith now, you understand what he's saying is right. You have the confidence in him. Your confidence doesn't shake, right? Your confidence is, you know, Allah will protect us. Right? But I think many of us are such that their confidence is on the bank than anything else. Is it true what I'm saying or not? Is it true or not? They're so confident on the bank, oh, they're going to give me a 5% return. Somebody's calling it interest, somebody's calling it profit, whatever. But now, you're so confident it's going to happen. Do you have that level of confidence with your friend or any other person? So the confidence is so much. So that confidence in the hereafter, that certainty in the hereafter, must shift that whole confidence to the hereafter. Then you need an anchor. That anchor must be like that. You know, like a anchor tenant. How secure don't you feel when you got a blue chip anchor tenant? Although, I don't know. I know what it means, but this is what I read the emails. So I assume this is the meaning. I still don't know what is blue chip, what is anchor tenant. What I assume is something very, very certain, you know, very secure. That's what I feel. Phir angrezi mein magzmari karne se kya fayda, koi sahab to milega nahi. Or again, it's sahab already. So what? So now, you have that level of confidence, like a blue chip tenant. Like how you have confidence that the thing can't move, right? It will be straight, it will be this. So whatever he tells you, you're holding on to it. Now, when this level of clarity, then there is that level of speed as well. Because he tells you and you're good, just doing it. He tells you one thing and you're just doing it. Then you're not looking right, you're not looking left, and you're moving. So that level of clarity is required to do the progress. You see, every level of instruction and education, the beginning of every instruction is just blind following. A level of understanding, the initial level, is blind following. Everything needs dalil, everything, you know, dalil, elucidation. You send the child to class, to madrasa or to school, right? And the teacher says to him, alright, this is A, and this is B. So the teacher, he asks the teacher, teacher sahab, why is B written like that, not like A? And why is A not like B? So the child at the age of 4 will tell him, but you just carry on like this, maybe when you're in matric, you'll understand all the dynamics and the philosophy behind it. Now you just blindly follow what we are teaching you. Won't that be the explanation of the teacher? Because he's too small to comprehend. So we need to comprehend, we need to understand at this level that our minds are too small to understand these type of things. Therefore, we need to just give our hands and follow the person. So there must be an overwhelming level of confidence, aqidat, and supported by an even stronger level of muhabbat. Then only can you see, like what Khubayb radiallahu said, I can't even see a thorn pricking Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When there's an overwhelming level of muhabbat. So now when you come to that level, the instructor or the sheikh feels free to tell you, sit down here, then move. Do this, don't do this. He feels free to instruct you. When he feels free, then he instructs you, he shapes you, he gives you the shape of his choice. But now, if you got 10 stories to say, so the Sheikh is thinking also, ye baat unko punchani hai, lekin isko kis tarah se samjhaye? I need to explain this to him, but how must I make him understand? So is it an easy communication? Is it easy? It's an easy flow. It's a very difficult flow. But if there's a thing like aqidat, there's a thing like muhabbat, he said it and it happens. He said it, no. So the Sheikh feels very easy to instruct. To give up is very easy. And your heart is just accepting. Straight away, as he gives, and you're accepting, as though your heart is a sponge. He's giving, and your heart is just taking it straight away. He's giving, and your heart is just taking it straight away. There is no hesitation, there is no resistance from your side. So, this is what they prescribe, that you think about the hereafter, understand. Sometimes you go to the Qabristan, nowadays you have to say it, to a safe Qabristan now. Because the money madness has reached such an ebb, that even the Qabristan is not safe. Isn't it? The Qabristan is not safe. It's money madness. So that was the first and the primary concern of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, worried about poverty. The whole secular education is worried about poverty. And Rasulullah Wasallam is not worried about poverty. Can you see? Shaitan is moving in diverse directions. Can you see? Just look at this. Where is the secular taking? Material security. Can you stand on your feet? And where is Rasulullah Wasallam taking? He's taking a different line altogether. So I ask you, have you captured the spirit of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? You got the words. But have you captured the spirit, what he wants? So, there's a great deal of effort just preparing the person, just preparing his mind. You know, like ground, before you sow the seeds, you have to prepare the thing. You can't just sow the seeds like that. It's a rocky place, stony place, pawny place, right? And you want the thing to flourish into a garden overnight. Can it happen? Can't happen. You want it to flourish. You have to, the first level is prepare the place, prepare it. So that's what required to all minds, that we need to prepare the mind. Once the mind is prepared, then your mind takes straight away, the hadith, alright, that namaz, you do it with jamaat 27 times multiplied. Your heart takes straight away. That said, some buzurg, whatever, And his mother passed away, so he missed out his jamaat, or he missed out his takbir, ula, whatever it was. So when he missed out his jamaat, he repeated the namaz 27 times. Then he showed in the dream, see, he's so conscious, so cognizant of the reward, 27 times and repeat the namaz. Right, you repeated the namaz, he was told in the dream or other. But what about the ameen of the malaika? Man wafaqa ta'aminu ta'ameen al-malaika. What about that? You see that? Now your heart begins to take to the akhirat. All the umur, all the affairs of the akhirat, that's the thing that you begin to recognize, you understand, you take to that. These things are, by the way, came, didn't come, is not a big deal, not a train smash, no loss. See that? The Sahabi is saying that, I did business like nobody did this day. On this day, I did so much of business, so much I did. I was calculating how much he did for the day, about 500,000 he did, right? But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not impressed with that. But I show you something better. Alright, it was the gentle nature of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He allowed him to say what he wanted to say. Understands? Alright, let him afloat. Let him say what he wants to say. He's emotional, and let him afloat. So I admit so much. So about 500,000 he did for the day, right? Something better, must I show you something better than this? So you see, he's shifting his mind. Right? This is a temporary thing, don't take it serious. Look into things that are more important, more significant. 2 rakats of namaz before every farz namaz. Can you see that? See his whole direction, where he's taking it. So this dua, Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. In my childhood, I know in the family it was like a different style altogether. Then it was such like about 50 people, I'm talking about no exaggeration. 50 people living in one house, right? A lot of rooms there. 50 people. Or 3-4 people are working. Ghar chal raha hai. It's carrying on. And nobody's complaining. Hey, I'm doing the work and he's eating and he's enjoying. Nobody complains. So that means in that zamana, there was a level of contentment. Happy as life is going, you're content. But you are ensuring you're getting your namaz right, zikr is right, Quran Sharif is right, talim is right. All that is being done. This one, our 3-4 people or less dedicate them to the business. They can take something more for themselves, right? But the house is running. But you see how that house is running. Now it is such that there are 10 people in that house, 5 men and 5 women, all must work. Online or offline, but somehow you must work. Otherwise, you are non-entity. If you're not bringing anything, no returns, then you are non-entity. You must earn something. What are you doing? Wasting our time. See how that secular education has turned our whole thinking. Our whole thing has gone off. And the worst thing is, we forgot that we have forgotten, right? We have mistaken it that we have made a mistake. We don't even think that it's a mistake. But our mind is gone totally on the other side, and still we feel that we are right. So what the Nabi is teaching us, جَعَلَ الْهُمُومَ هَمَّنْ وَاحِدًا. Your primary concern, the overwhelming concern must be something else, the hereafter. This thing is, by the way, one day for you, one day against you, but it's not a big deal. When we hear about the Sahaba Kiram, Aisha radiyallahu anha, we don't think about the poverty. Do we think about the poverty? We think, hey, Aisha radiyallahu anha, Ummul Mu'minin. But then she speaks about her whole own life, personal life, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. The only food in the house was khajur and water. Nothing besides khajur and water. 1 month, the second month, and the third month. I ask you, with all the piety and all everything else, if your daughter is only eating khajur and water, it's no constraint, can't help her, please, man. Take the money, go buy her the things on. Won't you think like that? But you know, the Muslim is not worried, she's not worried about it. And they're living normal, pure, good, healthy lives. So, there must be some significant factor in their lives that turned the direction. What was it? The concern of the hereafter, the qabr, the hereafter, etc. That was the primary thing in their lives that made them forget everything else. So even to get the halal and haram right, the one level is to know the boundaries, right? You must know it. Otherwise you'll cause problems. You're looking in the street of Madina Munawara, somebody is doing business, somebody is instructing him, go to the masjid, go and learn about how to conduct business. Look at the parameters, look at it. So one is to understand the parameters, and one is to have the spirit of the Sharia. I must do it. That whole consignment of wine is coming. A man invested all his wealth into wine, until the point where wine was halal, not impermissible, not declared impermissible and haram. Whatever wealth he had, imagine a couple of millions he had, and all was invested in importing wine. That thing reaches Madina Munawara. Whole consignment comes to Madina Munawara. And that coincides with the announcement of the prohibition. And straight away he smashes all those barrels across, that he flow it to the street. Across. But you see that the heart was so good, as the instruction came, the heart just took it as a sponge straight away. Ya Rasulullah, you know, I got children. Unka kya ho jayega? What will happen to them, you know? They may just starve. And you want me to go to the streets? Was that the response? Just think for a moment, what was the response of these people? So there was a lot of preparation work done, you know, a lot of groundwork done to these people. This groundwork was done, and as that wahi came, straight away they took it. The wahi came, and they took it, and they took it straight away. No hesitation. To this day, we still take the names with respect. But I ask you, there were multi-millionaires in that day as well, right? Abu Jahl, etc., right? Very wealthy merchants they were. But anybody takes the name with reverence. Gone. And these people here, nothing. Musab ibn Umayr, his father, like a tight, you know, wealthy person, philanthropist of Makkah Mukarramah. One garment is wearing, you equate it in rands, 10,000 rand, 12,000, one garment is wearing. And he's accepted Islam. parents threw him out of the house. Nothing to wear. Someone felt sorry, mother or someone gave him a piece of cloth. Right? And he's being sent to Medina Munawara to go and instruct people, teach them. Then he's shaheed in the Battle of Uhud. Not sufficient clothes to cover his head. If covering his head, the feet is uncovered. But you see, from what type of a home is coming, and what's the end of this man here? But to this day, don't we take his name with respect? He's the first teacher of Medina Munawara. First person that invited Ansar, Asad ibn Zurara, all these people here. If you look at it, many of these leaders of the Ansar, they accepted Islam at the hands of this Musab. See his life in Medina, see what he was in Makkah Mukarrama, but he died as a pauper, right? But up to this day, don't you take his name with reverence and respect. Isn't something to marvel, isn't something to think about. So this is the first concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this dunya opens up to you. The second concern was, the Quran will become accessible to all and sundry. Every type of person, it will become accessible to. So he's going to interpret how he wants, he's going to give a different interpretation, he's going to give a different interpretation. Every person will interpret the Quran and the Hadith as he wants. So this was the second concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what happens then to deen? When you talk of Quran, you mean the deen, right? So the deen is left to any type of interpretation. Every and all interpretation is exposed to any type of interpretation. Any person wants to come and interpret, he interprets it. I think it was on Wednesday, no, Tuesday, I think. Or last week, was it this Tuesday or the previous week? So what man, ex-Durban, now he settled somewhere in Johannesburg. Now he's very wealthy. Very, very wealthy. Stinking wealth. Made a lot of money. I know him. So he phoned up. Says, "Mo, I got a problem. I was in a meeting, but now I knew the person. So I just took the phone. I took the call. Said, what's your problem, bro?" Says, "Yeah, I'm living in this area here. And my wife goes and attends the local masjid. And because we're so wealthy now, her business is now just to listen to Bayan. This one year, that one year, someone, a very dynamic speaker from America, so she's listening to him on the WhatsApp, whatever, right? She's attending the masjid half a day, she's there. She's not concerned about the children, she's not concerned about the meals. So I confronted her, we can't run a home like this, man. We've got the wealth, but we can't live like this. Our whole mind is jammed in Bayans and all that, whatever. So when I confronted her and asked her, it's not the type of life that you want to lead. Healthy home, understanding, time, family time, proper food is prepared. This is the type of home we want. So her answer is, it's not like for us to do this. And number two, see, Allah Pak is the doer. What? When Allah Pak is the doer, then He can provide the energy as well. We can eat tea and butter bread, and Allah Pak will provide the bread. I ask anybody that's sitting here, prepare for that. Prepare for that. But you see this flurry of bayans. It's an overload of bayan. When there's an overload of bayan, then your mind can't take it, can't digest it. So I have to explain this whole theory about information. To me, information and food is identical, the same thing, right? Understand what that food was supposed to be doing. Then you understand what information was supposed to be doing to you. The food, you required two things, two elements in the food. The one thing that you required in the food was, it must be sufficient, right? What portion you want, that amount, right? And number two, it must be quality as well. It must be the right type of food. So when it's the right type of food, the right quantity, it will produce that type of energy that will keep you running, isn't it? Right type of food and right quantity. So the waste is gone. Right type of food, you don't have burps and irks and all that. And you don't have constipation, indigestion, that resulting in your whole, all your organs just collapsing. enough and the quality is right. So you're running well. Whether it's sugar, proteins, vitamin, etc. Everything is in right quantity, right proportion, and the right quality, then you're doing well. I said exactly the same, information is the same. Information, you take the right quantity and the right quality. You don't take unlimited amount of information because your mind has got a capacity. You can only handle so much. Now, you take an overload of information, then you're getting an anxiety attack, you're becoming sleepless, you're getting ghabraat. Why? You took an overload of information. Why? Who asked you to? Oh, there's a robbery here. Oh, there's a hold up that side there. There's an accident, this person died. But is it for us for you to know all the information? What you can, according to your capacity, you take that type of information. You need that information, it's within your capacity, you can take it, you can handle it, you can manage it, take that amount. But you're taking information beyond, you know, I must know about the halat of the Muslims, right? No, I don't say don't know. But can you handle that amount? When you can't handle that amount, then why are you pretending that I can handle all that? You just take that information that you can handle it. Don't let it be overloaded. And that information that is agreeable to you, you can, now when you've got that type of, you've got these two ingredients, then that information will do its work. Information was mainly to do two things. The one is to give you a drive, the morale must be high, it must motivate you. That information is motivating towards deen, towards righteous things. So that amount of information that will motivate you, will give you a drive, will spur you up to righteousness, and will restrain you from wrong. So the information, what it was required to do, to motivate you, to drive you, as well as to restrain you from wrong. But if that information is an overload, or the quality is not right, then what you are doing, you are filling your mind with junk. Your mind became a junkyard. It became a refuse dump, right? When your mind became a refuse dump, then you are refuse. Then the refuse has to be diffused. Sahih ke ghalat hai? Is it right or wrong? What was the purpose of the mind? The purpose of the mind is take the thing, and that thing must motivate you, must encourage you, right? Read namaz, kiri wa tahajjud, right? Do halal. So just then, for to get this in order, you need one person to instruct you. Then after that, the second level is, if you need to listen to a bayan with his consent. Right. Now he knows, alright, this is a speaker. The speaker will do good for you because we're talking on the same line. So he will support the same thing. But now he's talking something else and he's talking something else. Now what happens to this person's mind? Isn't a kachumar. Wasn't a kachumar that thing. Kachumar, you can still make your feet eat. That is, wasn't a kachumar this thing. It is. It's like vomit. So much you took in, you can't handle that information. But now you thinking that it's a kamal, it's an achievement to have so much of achievement. I know what's happening in Paris, yeah, London, I know. And in Mexico there was an earthquake, yeah, I know about that. And Ukraine there's a fight, I know about that. So what, then what? Pirkya. Hey, now the world is coming to an end. Now third world war coming. Pirkya karenge, let's stockpile, let's do something. See the ghabraat, you have invited the ghabraat for no reason. Do you need that ghabraat? And this whole ghabraat thing you understand from this looting story. Looting and this virus story, you understand this thing here. Because there was so much of information was coming in, people are stockpiling, guys going to the supermarkets, one fighting with the other, in all first world countries. Then this looting story came, right? They say, you can't live here, go to Australia, go to this place here. They hardly step into Australia and say, hey, come back. They can't manage that type of life. That life is different, this life is different. So, this over-information, you take that amount of information that you need, that must motivate you, drive you, etc. Number two, it must give you that type of security, that defense, that protection from wrong, right? Allah Ta'ala.